When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Ooh! What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back, and we back early. Well, if you're listening to it, you know, when it drops on Wednesdays, then I'm not even early. But if you hear live, which my patron saints are here live, some people in IG Live are in here live, I'm doing this early. It's a Monday. Normally, I'm recording this on a Tuesday, but it's a Monday. It's a Monday. I'm doing it early because I'm going to Mexico tomorrow to go to, you know, Kevin Melissa's re-up on the marriage, the re-up, the remix, the reupholster of the marriage, the sequel, but not really the sequel, because I feel like if you married, then you get divorced, then you get married again, that's the sequel. But I feel like this is more of a, just you know what I'm saying? This is the DVD bonus edition. This is the director's cut of the marriage. This is like, you know, you getting extras. You getting extra scenes. You getting the re-up. We renegotiated the contract. We running it back. We going back again, man. We coming in with new vows, new adjustments. You know what I'm saying? Lessons learned. History lived in. They re-ing up. So I'm going to that. I'll be in Mexico. I'm wearing a short set all week. I'm just wearing a short set. Y'all just gonna have to laugh at me. I don't care. It's gonna be matchy. I'm wearing a short set. I ain't got time to be putting pieces together, man. Just give me the short set and hush. It's gonna be 70 some degrees out there. I'm in the short set, knees out. My little calf muscles is gonna be out. And when I sit down, I'm gonna raise the shorts up just a little bit so you can get some thigh in there. Short set. I got the suit for the wedding, and I'm short set all week, man. I'm gonna just be out here. Shirt may or may not be off. I don't know. I'm shy with my nipples. When I'm at the house, or I'm out coming out the gym, shirt off. But when it comes to, like, you know, vacation stuff, and I'm just out there shirtless all day eating a meal shirtless, will you see my food go down into my stomach and then you see my stomach expand because I'm eating? Nah, man. Watch out. I ain't never been that comfortable shirtless in front of folks. I'm body shy. I'm body shy. Okay? Body shy. All right, I'm working on myself. I'm trying to get more. You know how Kev and Tahir just be taking their shirt off whenever they got damn pleased all over social media for thousands and millions to see. I'll be shy. Now, I know I'll be cussing y'all out. Like, if I make a video and I'm in the middle of a Peloton ride, or I'm coming out the sauna and my shirt is off. But you only seeing, like, the shoulders and the cleavage. You know what I mean? So that's different. And plus, I'm not, it's not me making a point that my shirt is off. It just happens to be off, and I got to say what I got to say in the moment, because that's just how I post. Like, I post in the moment. If it's on my mind, I got to get it off immediately. Pause. But when it comes to just chilling with the shirt off, I grew up, I was heavy, man. I was a fat kid, you know, self-esteem. I used to get roasted for my weight. So, of course, I'm hiding. Like, I'm at the pool with my shirt on. You know, I had to overcome that. And I barely did. Tony Bacon kept his shirt on at all times. So it was like, you know, I was just ashamed. I was just, you know, and a lot of men won't admit to this. A lot of men won't admit to, like, insecurities or, like, feeling embarrassed or feeling like, you know, they're getting judged or they don't want to be ridiculed. And so they be acting tough. I'll be like, listen, I'm shy about my body. Sure, you know, sure, I've sent nudes. But the nude is, it's a still image. It's still, I'm not moving in the image. I'm not moving in the image, so I'm like, I can send this nude. But if I got to move and you can see the movement and the jiggles and the love handles dapping it up, I'd be like, let me put a shirt on, man. Let me cover up. We all working on something. We all working on something. Y'all know I be Transparency McGee. So I'm shy with my shirt. Thank Harry, you feel me, Harry? Shout out to Harry Elam, man. He shy with his shirt off too. You know, I know it's not just me. I know it's not just me. But to the men out there, man, we working on it. We working on ourselves. We getting more comfortable in our own skin. And, you know, these are the steps. So that's why you don't see me shirtless a lot. And I know some of y'all be like, but Danny, you in shape, you skinny, you thin. What you talking about? Man, look out. It's all about how I see it. We can tell everybody until we blue in the face about, no, you're beautiful. You're fine the way you are. I like this. I like that about you. But if you don't feel it within yourself, it's never going to register. It's never going to count. You got to feel it from within yourself organically, wholly and truly, for you to truly be okay with it. And that's, you know, some people go overboard. They get the surgeries. They keep altering their face or whatever it is that, you know, whatever it is that they're struggling with. They were never good enough in their own minds to where they have to keep altering themselves. And then now you don't even recognize who they truly were. Like, damn, you done changed into a whole nother person. You were fine the way you are. But if they didn't believe it, it was null and void. So for me, even though people say certain things like, no, Tony, you look fine. Like, nah, man, look at this down here. Look at that. Look at the little, I don't like that. And then you nitpicking every little thing. And so, you know, you got to get over those hurdles to whatever it is that's making you tear yourself down like that. Once you overcome that, then you start living in your own, like, you know, truth and your own sense of beauty within yourself and how you see yourself. And so that's always been my, you know, my biggest thing is like my body issue. You know, so, and it started young. They got me too early, y'all. They got me too early. Once I was getting roasted for my weight, the seed was planted. Now I got to keep digging up in the soil to get that seed up out of here because it done grew into a raggedy ass musty tree of just self-doubt and just, you know, hating yourself. The Patreon want me to get rid of y'all in the IG live. They want me to cut the feed. They want me to cut the feed right here, right now. So they want me to cut y'all off. Y'all in here freeloading. And they don't like that. The patron saints don't like that. They don't like y'all in here reaping the benefits of a live podcast because you're not a member of my Patreon. And now that some of y'all are standing firm, some of y'all refuse to join my Patreon. All you got to do is join. $5 a month, $7 a month. You really gonna miss $7 a month? That's gonna rip your pockets to shreds. Never mind that you subscribe in the 18 different monthly platforms. $7 a month is really gonna tear you in half. I think you won't even notice the $7. I think you're gonna forget every time they take that $7 out of your account, you ain't even gonna notice. You be spending more than that. You be spending more than that at Starbucks on the day to day. You be spending more than that at Starbucks on the day to day. You can't do $7 for this premium good time I'm giving you. $7. Y'all gonna miss $7 a month. I'm not out here charging y'all hundreds of dollars a month. $7. Seven. That's the number. How you say it in There's Something About Mary. $7 a month. That's going to rip your pockets in half. That's crazy. I don't believe you. You just don't want to do it because you don't think I'm worth it. That's what it all boils down to. You don't think I'm worth it. That's why you don't want to join my Patreon. You don't think I'm worth it. And that's fine. That's fine. It hurts, but it's fine. What else am I going to do? I got to accept it. I got to accept this. So anyway, I'm cutting off the IG Live. If you want to stay in this, join my Patreon right now. Go to my Instagram. Click the link in my bio. Click the Patreon tab. Join my Patreon today. The paid membership, not the free one. The free one won't even count. You won't even get the benefits. And shout out to you, Scorpio, Miss Scorpio, thanks for joining. I like Scorpios, man. Sick of y'all. I'm drawn to Scorpios, but y'all, we don't mix. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm out. Boom, pal. Now, patron saints, I have you alone. Now it's just us. You know what I'm saying? Dionysia, Randomly CJ, Mishi, Duchess, Ayomi, Chris M, Charlotte McPherson, Devin Nelson, Aries Taurus, Rear, G-Man, Candy Cammy, Alice, Joshua, Clinton, Sherry, Slick Dome, Jason Anderson, Jesse Braham, Carlton, Marquise, Zakia, Bumpy all over the place. You really Bumpy all over the place? Chris Russell, Trey Porter, Sherry Tucker, Drea, Keen, Duchess, Christina, Miss Ma'am, Tamara, 2Jesse, Alaris, Ashley B, Delvin, Clinton, Tony Ant, Heavy B, Stony Face Entertainment, Styler, Zane, Chris M. I appreciate y'all. Kobe McGuire, what's up, y'all? Thanks for tuning in early. We early this week because I am going to Cabo tomorrow. Shout out to the new patron saints, Ikua Hackman, Sharita Harvey, Ashley, Sheldon, Keitra, Carlton, Miss Mia, Brian, and Siobhan. Shout out to the new paid members. Yeah, y'all. Verbal Cardio is back. So let me update you on the comedian joke thievery accusation setup. So, you know, the comedian, you know, jumped out the plane kind of riding for their friend. So the person who thought I stole their joke, still haven't spoken to her. You know, I reached out, I called, did I call? I might've called, but I definitely text. I text her, sent her a DM also, nothing. And then the other comedian that got this fire even started, still nothing from nobody. So me and the squad, me, Keenan, Keon, B-Lou, DC, I'm telling them about all this, Chaz. So Keon noticed that, you know, another comedian had commented on the situation as well in the comments section. Not saying that I took anything, but she was saying, "Yo, this is just like such and such's joke." So I was like, "Oh, so I hit her up directly, and she responded. So we had a good conversation. She was saying, "Yeah, you know, she's just hurt, and you know, that joke is like, you know, one of her major, you know, jokes, and she kind of shuts down when it comes to like communication like this. So she kind of shuts down and, you know, shuts people off." And I was just like, "Listen, deliver the message. Just tell her, you know, and the part of the joke, I thought the joke they accused me of stealing was about me finding my dad. It was the little part of a certain clip about me talking about Boys in the Hood. The joke that she thought I stole was about Ricky getting shot. That little piece right there." And I was just like, I've been doing that joke probably since 2009. Probably since 9, 10. Because I remember for me to relate to black audiences. Like when I would perform at the Comedy Union in LA on Pico, and those were black crowds. So I would make references to like movies, because I'm a movie head. So I would make references to movies. I was like, yo, Boys in the Hood. I had a whole Boys in the Hood set. Baby Boy. I talked about how BET only shows Baby Boy and the edits never match the voices. I had a whole bit on that. And Boys in the Hood was also a key piece in my material. So I would talk about how, you know, Ricky should have zigzag in that alley. You don't run straight when you got a gun at your back. So that's the joke she thought I stole. And I'm just like, no, I've been, because that part of my joke is I didn't cry at movies. And my joke was, I didn't cry at movies until I became a father. I used to take sad movies to the chest. I used to be like, and I would give three examples of movies where, you know, I fought the tears, and I would just blame the actor as to why I couldn't cry. So it was like when Ricky died in Boys in the Hood, I'd be like, oh, you should have zigzagged. You had a football scholarship. You know what I'm saying? And then I say, in The Lion King, when Mufasa died, I was like, ugh, you shouldn't have trusted your brother Scar, man. You knew he was a hater, man. Why would you trust him anyway? You should have just kept climbing on your own. And that's me, like, fighting the tears and tucking it all down. And then the third one was The Pursuit of Happiness when Will Smith got the job. And then, so those were the three beats to the joke. So, like I said, I was doing that joke very early in my comedy career, and you know, so I kind of took that joke out because, you know, I just outgrew the joke. It was just like, all right, I'm kind of done with it. I would make reference to it every now and then, but it was never a major anchor in my arsenal. It might have been major in my arsenal early on, but then, as you know, as I kept doing comedy, it was just like, you know. And then that particular joke became an internet joke. It became a meme. It became everywhere. It was just like, you know, Ricky just ran straight. He had a football scholarship. I have seen that meme several times now, like over the years. And so I'm just like, oh, that joke is out there. Same with my mask joke. My mask joke is on the internet too much now. Like, I had a joke about why I hate the TV show MASH. That was like my big closer for a little bit. And I talked about how I just hated the TV show MASH because that signified my bedtime growing up. I knew when MASH came on, that was a wrap for us, man. Soon as them helicopters was coming in, they was coming in to take our asses to bed. MASH is the worst TV show of all time. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I had a whole act out of me hiding from my mom while the MASH music is playing. Do-do-do-do, whole slow motion dramatized scene of me going to bed while the music of MASH is playing. So what ended up happening was I was like, all right. And then I started seeing memes of that. Man, you know, when MASH came on, you had to go to bed. And I'm just like, damn, that's my joke. Now it's out here on the internet. It wasn't like my actual set, because I haven't filmed that set, but it was just like, well, damn, this joke is common now. Even if you see me do the joke now, even though I was doing it way before, you know, even Instagram, the fact that it's a meme now, people could be like, I've seen this joke on the internet. You know what I mean? So that was a part of the joke. And now I just feel a way, because when you get accused of something you did not do and they want to stand firm in the crime that you never committed, it's hard to keep my temperature in check, because it's just like, well, fuck you then. Like, I'm on that type of energy, because it's like, it's almost impossible not to get offended when you're innocent. It's like if you go into a clothing store and the employees are pressing you because they thinking you stealing some shit in there, you're going to be offended. You know those moments? You know those moments when you in a store, they be like, damn, man, I'm good. You watching me like a hawk. I feel uncomfortable. You're going to get pissed off. You're going to stop going to that store. You're going to report to the manager. You're going to do something. You're going to be like, man, don't go to such and such, man, because they think you're stealing in there. And, you know, you was innocent. And so in this particular case, I'm just like, you don't want to talk to me. You're avoiding communication. You got your friends jumping out the plane with no parachute, and y'all just want to stand firm in that and not say nothing. You're assassinating my character, and we can't even have a conversation. It's hard for me not to be like, well, fuck you then. You know, I'm right on the doorstep of that. And I don't want to be at that doorstep because I actually respect and like these people, but I'm innocent. And so it's just like, all right, because I'm not gonna go out my way to prove it. You know, I did look for some clips that had me doing the joke years ago just to clear my name. I got to clear my name. And so it's frustrating. It's just like, well, damn. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you ain't do no crime. You know, I could see if I was a guilty, shady nigga out here stealing jokes, but that's not my ministry. That's not my brand. I don't steal jokes. So I'm just like, all right. Bet that then. Because I like to provide receipts. I'm a receipt person. So even if I'm like, I ain't still like, man, let me show you something. But I couldn't find like a clip. I know I have that joke somewhere recorded, whether it's just audio or whether it's a video somewhere. I know I have it because I can hear me performing that bit. But I can't, because I can hear myself going the three beats, but I don't know where that clip is. And so it's just like, well, if they don't believe me, then at that point, you know, you assassinated my character, and I can't have that. I can't have that energy around me. I can't, you know, there's no longer mutual respect. Because if you think I'm a thief and you're going to stand firm in it and not even have a conversation with me, you're just going to be like, yeah, he stole the joke. I can't even talk to him right now. I'm just like, hey, let's talk. Nah. All right. That means you think of me like this? All right. Bet. Bet that. You got to log people where you're going to log them. But I ain't steal that goddamn joke. So that's where that is. Took a nice little watery swig of that water after that. That's why I remember that goddamn joke. But we got to pay these bills real quick. Hold on a second, man. Let me pay these bills. Masterclass, right? Masterclass is... this is a subscription you could pay for, and you can get a masterclass on almost anything you into. Masterclass is like, if you're into something, like let's say, for example, you're into barbecue, you can watch a masterclass on how to barbecue, how to make the fires, how to do brisket, how to do pork ribs, how to do pork butt. And you can get this master class from somebody like Aaron Franklin, who's a successful, you know, restaurateur and barbecue master. You can get it directly from him. And mind you, it's not only entertainment. You can get a master class from Mark Cuban. You can get them on, Win Big in Business. So we got business. You can do entrepreneurship, leadership, communication, negotiation and persuasion, business strategy. And you got all of these under the umbrella of business. You got Martha Stewart. You got Esther Perel. Sarah Blakely is a self-made entrepreneurship. Bob Iger will give you business strategy and leadership. Kris Jenner has a master class, The Power of Personal Branding. I don't care how you feel about the Kardashians. You know as well as I do, they did a tremendous job at personal branding to where these women are all filthy rich. You can sit up here all day and be like, I don't respect what they know. I don't like how they went about getting... But I guarantee you, if you was to watch a master class on the power of personal branding from somebody who really did it, you're going to learn some tools. You're going to get some jewels up out of there. And so if you can put your little preconceived notions or your little opinions to the side and just be a student and just be, you know, willing to learn some things, you'd be like, man, I learned a thing or two in here. And then boom, you're on your way to personal brand yourself. So Masterclass is tremendous with that. And with Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. All right. So you can build your confidence through humor with comedic icon Kevin Hart. You can use improv to overcome your fears with Amy Poehler. Or you can turn your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart. And the classes really make a difference. 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. So like I was telling you, it's not even just about entertainment. It's business. If it is entertainment, you got photography, visual arts, acting and comedy, directing and filmmaking, creative process. You got community and government. So you got politics and economics, social change and advocacy, cultural history and identity, philosophy. From people like George W. Bush has a masterclass in here. Bill Clinton has one on inclusive leadership. Cornel West. Hillary Clinton has a joint in here. The Power of Empathy with Pharrell Williams and noted co-instructors. Melinda Gates. You got all kinds of stuff. You got design and style you can tap into. Design and architecture, fashion, design and branding, beauty and personal style, interior design, creative leadership. So you got so many different classes and so many different genres. Like, you know, you can find whatever it is you're into. Naomi Campbell has a class on modeling fundamentals. Mark Jacobs has one on fashion design. You got food. Who don't love food? You got the culinary arts, home cooking, farm to table, baking and pastry, wine and spirits, international cuisine, nutrition and wellness. You could do nutrition and wellness with Roy Choi, Dominique Crenn, or Michael Twitty. So there's so many different chefs in here that you can learn from. Wine and spirit. Breakfast all day. That's what I'm talking about. You got home and lifestyle. You got music. You got science and tech, sports and gaming, wellness and writing. So Masterclass sound like the move. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Kev has a Masterclass. Kev on stage has a Masterclass in social media branding and stuff like that. So I feel like Masterclass can only help you. It can only help you. Even if you're not really into the class you're watching, it's still like dope to you just even watch. So anyway, right now, listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/verbal. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/verbal. Masterclass.com/verbal. Don't forget to put the verbal in there, y'all. Put the verbal in there, man. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. You get a 30-day money-back guarantee. Man, get the Masterclass. Get the Masterclass. Just do it. Just try it out for 30 days. Make sure you put that verbal in there when you sign up. And try it out for 30 days. And if you don't like what you see, if you don't gain some nuggets, then get your money back. So, boom, man. That's an investment. That's an investment. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Chef Matt Owen said, I took my kids to breakfast this morning and got me some crispy edge pancakes and biscuits. Couldn't help but think of Tony Baker. That's right. Where'd you go, though? Where'd you go to get the crispy edge pancakes and the biscuits? Where was you at? Where was you at? Because that's got me licking my lips. Where was you at? Did you listen to Now featuring Sir Make It Out Alive? I forgot to go back to that song, Terrence. Terrence! Huckleberry's here in Stockton. Oh, you in Stockton. You over there in Sons of Anarchy territory. Sons of Anarchy. Every time I think about Stockton, you know, I'll be like, Stockton, Sons of Anarchy. All right. G-Man 83. Oh, first of all, before I dive into the questions real quick, I want to discuss a few things. I want to discuss a moment I had yesterday. So I just pulled up to the gym. I was in the parking lot. I was sitting in my car and I was just watching a father. There was a guy, he was walking. One of his kids was in the stroller, like a little stroller. You know, those no frill strollers where your kid is a little bit older. And so you got the little thin, flimsy stroller that you just throw them in there. You know, they can walk, but, you know, they little and they fresh on the walking scene. Or, you know, they ain't been walking that long. Their legs are little, so you get them the stroller to handle the, you know, the load, the workload of the steps. And then he had a daughter that looked like she wasn't that far from the boy in age. But the boy is in the stroller. The little girl is walking. And I think they was walking from, like, the restaurant that was right there. So I don't know why I just, when I was sitting in the car, I was just watching them. And I was just watching him. He got to the car. He put his daughter in first. And I was just like, it was a combination of me remembering those days, remembering when the Baker boys were that little, because they were close in age. So it was just like, man, I remember the days having to put them in the car seat. You know, they got the strollers. And I was just like, yep, look at him, pops. And I was just watching him fasten the kid in. And then the other kid that was still in the stroller, he was probably looking at something on his phone or whatever. So he was just like, and then the little boy stood up and then he picked up the little boy and put the other kid in the car, buckling them in. And I was just like, I was just watching. I was just like, so it was a combination of just like my own reflection, my own experiences with that. And then I was just thinking like, man, you know what I'm saying? Pops, he out here, he got the kid, he holding the kids down, he getting them settled in. You know what I mean? I just started thinking about the whole family dynamic and I was just like, and then I was just thinking, oh, man, that feels like a lifetime ago for me. Like, you know, it feels so long ago, but it was very familiar and very warm. And I was just like, yo, this dude's a good dad. I was like, I found myself just in a zone of just self-reflection while watching them. And then it looked like he could see me just looking at them. I bet you he was like, man, what the hell? I don't know if he even saw me like that. Cause I had enough distance to where it wasn't like I was a creepy man. Just like, yeah, look at him and his kids. I'm gonna violate all of them. But it was a genuine moment of just like, I remember this. I've been through this. I like this. I like what I see. I like what's going on here. I enjoyed the process. It was just, you know, I just had a moment. I was just like, and it wasn't like I was super emotional or just like, you know, I wasn't sad. It was just like, yeah, this is dope. This is familiar. And then it just got me to thinking about my own life and like the journey of life. And I was just like, wow. And then when I got out the car, I was just like, man, I was really in the zone in that moment. I was just like, I really zeroed in on this man and his kids and was just like, just sitting in the car watching it unfold. And I was just like, I'll never see this man and his kids again. But that was a moment that's going to stick. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that because it was like, man, I felt like, man, those days felt so long ago. I became a father in the year 2000. January 2000 is when I became a father. I was 22 years old and fresh dad at 22. 22 is young. Not as young as DC Irvin, but still young, man. Like, you know, 22. I turned 23 that year, but, you know, in January I was 22. And, yeah, you had yours at 21, damn Oz. Yeah, so, and then, you know, Sincere came in September 2001, Sincere was born. So I was a father of two by the age of 24, you know. At the age of 24, I was a father of two boys. And I'm 47 now, so that's like a lifetime ago. You know what I'm saying? A lifetime ago. And you were 17 in 2000. All right, man, ain't nobody ask y'all how old y'all was in 2000. Amir, I don't even want to know how old was you in 2000? Oh, my God. Amir was five, y'all. We're not going to do this. We're not doing this. I don't want to hear how old y'all was in 2000. Get off my back, man. Look out. I don't want to hear that. I'm not bringing that up to here. Man, I was five. Man, watch out. Look out. But yeah, so that was a little moment, man. And that was yesterday when I got to the gym. I was creepily watching a father and his two kids. like a creep reminiscent creep. But it felt like one of those movie moments where, you know, the main character is like watching something unfold and then he's like, oh, he's thinking about, you know, his own life. Remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they went to the art museum and then Cam kind of zoned out on one particular painting? I never understood the, you know, what he was thinking while he was looking at that painting. And if you're not familiar with Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, they end up going to the art museum in Chicago. And there was a moment, they was having a good time. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie because of the song that's playing and everything that was going on while they were at the art museum. And there was a moment that Cameron was, he was looking at a painting of, it looked like just people in the park. It was people in the park. But he was kind of fixated on like a mother and a daughter within that painting. They were kind of like the center of the painting, but the painting had a bunch of people in it. But he kept zeroing in on the kid. And I was just like, I wonder what that, you know, represented in that moment. Was it him not feeling like he had a childhood like that, or did he still feel like the child? Did he long for, you know, a day like that when he was younger? Because I know he had a strained relationship with his dad in that movie. And since we never saw him interact with his parents, we just kind of going by, you know, what he was saying, the things he would say and like, you know, those type of issues. But when he zeroed in on that painting, I was just like, I wonder. And then I have a moment like that looking at that man and his kids, just like, you know, just sitting there watching. I don't know. Also, another thing that I wanted to discuss that kind of has me worried is, so there I saw a balance test on social media, on TikTok. And they said that if you stand and you close, you put your arms here, you stand on one foot and close your eyes, depending on how many seconds you can do that without losing balance, tells you your age, your body age, I should say. And they get like certain amount of seconds per age group, you know. And so what I notice is, I can barely stand on one leg with my eyes closed without losing my balance. So I'm just like, yo, what's up with my balance? Like, you know, how can I fix this? You know what I mean? Because I'm very, y'all know I'm very much into, you know, health and my body and what's going on with my body and stuff like that. So, no, my birthday is not September 3rd. Terrence. My birthday May 17th. So now I'm wondering, like, yo, what's up with my balance? And so now I'm wondering, like, you know, because I'm just going by, because I Googled how long people can stand, you know, with their eyes closed on one leg with the thing going. And so I'm like, what's going on with my balance now? So now I'm wondering, like, how can I correct, you know, how can I correct whatever it is going on? Now, mind you, you know, I do have a ringing ear. Like, my right ear is constantly ringing. And I'm sure, you know, your ear is very connected to your balance and stuff like that. So I'm like, it's all is connected to where as soon as I close my eyes, you know, I'm falling over. Moyo says, inaccurate test tone. I took tests like that to determine ADD in my 20s. I couldn't hold myself up more of a brain synopsis than age. Okay. Doesn't matter if you're standing on your dominant foot. I tried both feet, and my seconds are trash on each one. One foot is longer than the other, but they're both like, I fall over quick. Try balance with your eyes closed isn't easy. Sounds like BS. It's time for fit table test, whatever, TIF table test. So how long can y'all do it right now? I think the tinnitus or whatever this is in my ear, I'm sure that affects my balance. I'm almost 100%. Okay, so if you are in a place where you can do it. So you stand up, and then they say you stand up, and then you put your arms here, and you stand on one leg, and then you close your eyes, and then however long you made it to 7 seconds, all right, I'm gonna show y'all how quick I crumble. All right, so here we go. My eyes are still open, so I'm doing it right now. Here we go. I got 5 seconds, barely five, and I'm gonna do another one. I'm gonna do the right knot. I'm standing on the right foot this time. That first one was the left. All right, here we go, and boom. Boom. Quick. So you got 7 on your left. Got 3 seconds, 6 seconds, and I do yoga. Down goes for, it's quick. But that video I saw, they was like 20, 30 seconds for, I'm like 20, 30 seconds. And then I'm Googling and I'm just like, I wasn't even close to these type of numbers. Amir, how long can you do it? All right, let's see. Let's see what Amir got. Yeah, and then you stand on one foot. Before you close your eyes, stand on one foot and have your arms here like that, and then try it. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. That's crazy. So he just did it permanently. That's my left foot. That was the left foot?
My left foot is good. Let me try the right one.
All right, let's see what the right do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 19. That's crazy. I can't even.
It's a workout, though. I ain't going
to
lie.
I can't even get remotely to those numbers. I was like, man. So, you know, I was thinking, I was like, man, I need to get my balance checked.
So, nah, I do have back problems. So I got scoliosis. So that hinders my balance right there. I remember doing a physical therapy thing. It would tear me up, bro.
Man.
Tear me up. I couldn't get my balance right.
And that's hindered balance.
Yeah. My legs are, my right leg like stands out a little bit longer than my left for okay. some odd reason. Like it's two curves in my spine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. So that's not the best balance either.
That's crazy. But he was able to do it for that one leg. You could have kept going.
Yeah, my left leg, I probably could have kept going.
Yeah, we tapped you out on the count. All right, man. You had time to be counting for hours. But, man, yeah, I have 5 seconds on each foot, if that.
They said Amir got a tail.
Savagery. So for everybody that did it just now, how long was y'all, what was y'all times? Give me the times real quick. I don't know how to fix the ringing in my ear, though. I wish I knew the answer to that. But that's definitely.
I don't even know if you can.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Like, they said, from what I've heard, I'm stuck with this. So you did 3 on the right, 5 on the left. What's up, Megan? 1.3, 7 on the left, 10 on the right, 5 seconds. What's less than a second? 4 on each, 5 on the right, 10 on the left. 10 left, 8 right. My right was 9 seconds, 9 seconds left, 3 seconds right, 5, 14 on the right, 6 on the left. So according to us, Amir's numbers are just X-Men level. He's a mutant. 27 on the right, 15 on the left. Okay, Miss Mia, coming in with a balance.
Is anybody even?
It looks like everybody has different numbers. I haven't seen it even yet. They say Amir is beast of Nightcrawler. 50 on both. Okay, Candy Cameron got 50 on both. 50? Damn. Y'all out here.
I am 29.
29 years old.
But I am not that active, I'll say that. I won't be exercising like that. Like I should be.
15 right, left 3, no cane, leg injury. Okay, Chelsea. Yeah, man. Wild. All right, let me see. Let me tap into this real quick and see what y'all talking about. Let's see. All right, let's see what y'all got here. Let's see what y'all got here. Oh, Damon K. Stevens says, can you touch on Reggie Jackson not candy coating the racism that he experienced while playing baseball in the late 60s and 70s? A-Rod thought that Reggie was going to give him a warm, fuzzy memory about his time in Alabama, but Reggie kept it 100%. Let me tell you something, man. I love the fact that Reggie kept it 110%. I love it. I love the fact that Reggie was like, yo, man, the racism I sustained in this place, we done sugarcoating. We not here to paint this rosy picture of what America was and how it treated black folks. We done. I love the fact that he kept it all the way 100. You know, when you think about players from back in the day, players that have lived through the 60s, 70s, and you know, beyond, these trailblazers in sports, when you know what Jackie Robinson went through and you know what these players go through, what people yell at them, what they call them, how they're not allowed here, how they're not allowed there. I love the fact that he painted that picture accurately, because let's cut the shit about what America is. I was walking today when I did my 5-mile walk. I saw a truck and they had a big American flag in the back. And that flag is triggering to me, because it's like, and I know I'm, The fact that the American flag triggers me is wild because I was born in this country. I live in this country. When people from other places, when they rep their flag, whether it be Jamaica, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Haiti, whatever, you like, yeah, man. Yeah, take pride in where you from. I see you, Panama. I get the sense of pride that people have in, you know, the countries that they represent. I'm never triggered. But when I see the American flag, I get triggered. I'm just like, why you repping that flag so hard? And the crazy part is, it's where I'm from. It's literally, if I go abroad, that's the flag I have to represent. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go to another country, I'm standing there with the American flag as my representation. But at the same time, when I see it in America, I'm like, what type of time you on? What you on? Why you ripping that? Why you got a big ass flag? Why you need all that patriotism? What type of mindset you got? Why are you so proud? And it's crazy because America, as flawed as it is, and we know about the bloody, treacherous, whack ass history behind America. We know what they did to people. We know what they continue to do to people. We know what they do abroad. We know America's be on some bullshit. And they've been on bullshit from the very beginning. We know this. We can try to bury it. We can try to hide it. We can try to sugarcoat. But we know the bullshit that existed and the bullshit that continues to exist to this day. So that's one. That's first and foremost. But at the same time, this country is legit in a lot of ways. The fact that I can make a living off doing something that I love to do, that's a luxury some countries won't give you. The fact that I can just set out and blaze my own career in this without any government interference, not everybody can do that. You know, the fact that I can walk 5 miles in my neighborhood and not have to fear for my life, not every country has that luxury. So it's like, there's some very super dope elements to America. I feel like growing up, I was never hindered. I know that's not everybody's ministry. I know that's not everybody's reality within this country. But I do feel like nothing outside of myself was truly holding me back from getting the things that I wanted in my life. I can honestly sit here and say that. You know, I was able to go to college. I was able to go to community college. I was able to, you know, graduate from high school, go to college. I was able to get jobs, you know. I was able to achieve some things. I'm able to do what I love to do now and make a good living at it. You know, the taxes is bullshit, but I'm still able to take care of myself and my family. And I feel like the country never, you know, held me back from that. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. It does happen for sure. There's wage gaps. There's, you know, affirmative action had to be created. There's people that, you know, you couldn't buy houses in certain areas and all that bullshit exists. It's out here. But at the same time, I do feel like I was able to achieve some amazing things. And so, but I still be triggered by the patriotism. I'm like, why are you repping America so hard? Are you on some racist bullshit? What type of time you on? The fact that I immediately knee-jerk go into that thought process when I see the American flag, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. I'll be lying. What you on? Like, it really, like, I was looking at that truck and I was trying to see who was driving it. All the other cars, I don't even pay attention to the other cars and who's driving what. I don't even look. But when I saw that flag, I was trying to get a good look at who was driving it. What kind of face you got? You going to be mean mugging me? I couldn't see because their windows were tinted. So, but I immediately get triggered every time. And that's wild. So I love the fact that Reggie Jackson was like, yo, I'm not going to sugarcoat what I went through in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, Birmingham been on some bullshit. And so I'm going to tell my truth. We're not going to sugarcoat this. And I feel like we done sugarcoating. We done sugarcoating. Shit was trash. Shit is trash. Shit is good too. Yes, it's cool. It's good. Shout out to the fans. But let's also address this bullshit right here that I went through. Let's address the bullshit as well. We not burying the bullshit. We not sugarcoating. I love the fact. Shout out to Reggie Jackson and him sharing his real experiences with us. You know, regardless of whatever they were trying to commemorate and celebrate, he's like, yeah, but fuck that. They ain't allow me to stay in this hotel. They ain't even want me to eat here. Tell that truth. I want everybody telling the truth. Because that's what was real. Underneath the glitz and the glamour of the sport that we love. Yeah, but we wasn't allowed in them hotels down there. Keep it 150%. So shout out to Reggie Jackson. You know what I'm saying? An American. I was watching Ray again with Jamie Foxx, and there was a scene in there where they wasn't going to let Ray ride on that bus when he was trying to take the bus out of town. He wasn't going to let him ride up in there because he was colored. And then Ray was just like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? If I can get on that bus, you know, ever since I lost my eyesight in the war, he's like, you was in the war, you fought in the war. And he took his glasses off. That's when that man realized he was blind. He was like, all right, go on in there, man. You fought for this country. Man, fuck that, man. Oh, we got to prove it to you because we fought for this country that treated us like shit, man. Fuck out of here, man. Oh, now we good enough to get on that bus because I lost my eyesight in the war fighting for a country that don't give a fuck about us? Man, fuck that. I ain't never like that energy. I get that veterans do deserve respect, but the fact that, oh, now I'm getting your respect because I selflessly fought for this country, even though y'all don't give a damn about us, even though we're not allowed to eat in your restaurants and drink from your fountains, Now I'm good enough because I was willing to risk my life, limb, eyesight, to fight for a country that don't give a fuck about us. That's what I commend black people that have fought in wars for this country, regardless of how they're being treated. Even though they've been treated like shit, they still willing to fight. For a country that's just like, it treated them as less than, didn't even have them as human beings in the Constitution and the paperwork, but they were still willing to fight. I respect that, but at the same time, fuck that. And fuck you for, now I'm good enough. Hell no, man. Nope. Nope. You can save your little, you fall, I respect you. Now fuck your respect. Fuck your little conditional respect. You know, you want to respect me now because I fought in the war. Fuck out of here, man. Get your ass up out of here, shorty. I be hating that, man. Oh, now I'm good enough. Man, watch out. Watch out. Anyway, so I got an appointment at 4. I still got to do a review. All right, so I'm going to do a quick this or that, and then I got to get out of here. That's what I'm saying. The vets couldn't even get land when they got home. They couldn't even buy a home. They couldn't even get land. They couldn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, my grandfather fought in the Second World War, and it's just like, but there's still segregation. There's still a place he can't go into when he comes home from that. And I'm just like, man, some horse shit. Trash. Okay, let me do a this or that, and then I got to get the hell up out of here. Ooh, this is a good this or that. Deshaun Allen asking me this or that, Kendrick or Tupac? I gotta sit in this for a second, man. Let me marinate. Kendrick or Tupac? Wow, this is tough. This is tough. Kendrick or Tupac, huh? You just going for the jugular. You just going for the jugular. All right. So we got to break it down into what we're talking about. Because What made Tupac special was that he was so vocal about everything, right? That's what makes Tupac special and so iconic. It's not just his music. It was the stuff that he would say outside of music. You know, it was his passion. It was his mind. It was just, you know, Tupac had, you know, so much to say, so much going on. He was fiery. He was passionate. He was, you know, just pure, raw, just emotion. You know what I'm saying? Good or bad. Good or bad, Tupac was pure emotion. You know, you could tell he cared about people, but at the same time, fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had that duality where it's just like, you know, I love the kids, man, but fuck, you know what I'm saying? I love black people, but fuck these niggas. You know what I'm saying? It was a duality to him, like a... Is Tupac a Gemini? Because I feel like he is. Oh, he was the perfect representation of a Gemini. It's just like the duality of it. And so that puts Tupac in a special realm that I feel like we haven't had another rapper in that realm ever since. You know, there's some other outspoken rappers, but Pac had that and the music too of equal measure. And a lot of people say Tupac was just acting, like, you know, he had to turn this on from when he was young to what he became. It was kind of like a different individual, and that could be so. Like, I don't know Tupac personally, so I don't know. Kendrick, on the other hand, Kendrick is more to himself. You can tell Kendrick is the people's champ for a reason. The people love Kendrick Lamar for a reason, because he feels like a genuine dude. Like, he feels like a genuine person. Like there's nothing fake about Kendrick. Like, Kendrick doesn't, I don't feel like he's putting a performance on at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when he's an artist, so, you know, he's going to give us the full performance on that front. Like, creatively, he's one of the best artists in the game. But I feel like when you talk to Kendrick, when you see him in interviews and stuff like that, he never feels false. He never feels fake. He never feels like he's playing up or playing down. I feel like he's just him. And people are drawn to that. And, like, you can tell he cares about people. You know, he puts all of that, the passion that Tupac might have in an interview, Kendrick pours that into the music. And then when you talk to him, he's like calm, but he's like, you know, human. So it's like, I gravitate towards Kendrick more on that front. Like, I feel like I just like the calmness of Kendrick. Like, I like the calmness there. Like, sometimes, you know, sometimes people are fiery too much. You just like, all right, man, all right. I feel the passion, but just turn it down a little bit. Because sometimes people just be too passionate all the time. And it's just like, all right, can you turn the passion down? It's the passion of the Christ up in here, man. Just turn it down just a little bit. You're coming in all passion. You're coming in passion first. So I feel like I rock with the Kendrick energy a little bit more. As far as the music. Now, Tupac fans are annoying. I'm talking about the stans, the ones that, if you don't have Tupac on your list, here they come. Y'all know they get on my nerves at this point. Y'all know they get on my nerves at this point. This dude swear, but now I'm a Tupac hater. Like, I like Tupac. I love Tupac, actually. I think he's the most iconic rapper of all time. But I'm not gonna sugarcoat every little thing that he did and said. You know, I'm not gonna call every album that he put out a classic. That's just not the reality for me. And so I feel like from an artistic standpoint. And I'm talking about the albums that came out while Pac was alive. Tupacalypse Now, Strictly for My Niggas, Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and Machiavelli. Those five albums, I'm not really counting the stuff that came out after he passed. Me Against the World is my favorite Tupac album, followed by probably Machiavelli, and then All Eyes on Me, and then Strictly, and then Tupacalypse Now. But the Tupacalypse Now and the Strictly for My Niggas albums, I didn't give a lot of burn to. I'm gonna be honest, like I didn't rotate those. Those weren't classics to me. Me Against the World is a classic to me. Kendrick Lamar, you know, Section 80, whether you consider that his official debut or whether it wasn't, Section 80, I'm not counting the mixtapes, the Overly Dedicateds and stuff like that. I'm just Section 80, Good Kid, Mad City, To Pimp a Butterfly, Damn, Mr. Morale and the Hot Steppers. I feel like to me, Good Kid, Mad City is one of the best albums I've ever heard. I could put Good Kid, Mad City in my top 25. So I think musically, lyrically, as a rapper, I like Kendrick more. So within that long ass comparison and that explanation, I'ma go, and I'm not gonna punk out and give you the tie. I'm picking one. I still think Tupac is the most iconic rapper of all time, but I'm going Kendrick. I'm going Kendrick. Kendrick Lamar, man. And to see him battle the way he battled. I'm giving Kendrick the edge. I'm giving Kendrick the edge. So I'm going Kendrick. Anyway, side note, what he did was amazing. Before I get out of here, the pop-up show that he did was amazing. I watched it on Amazon. Fire. I love the unity he brought to the stage. It was amazing. Kendrick is special, man. That dude is special, and I feel like we're just witnessing just hip-hop history. Just we're witnessing it in real time. Now, I've seen the Tupac history in real time. I'm seeing the Kendrick history in real time. And I know y'all was asking me, how was you hanging in there with the song on repeat? We know you was tired of the song already. He did it five times back to back. What made it bearable was just the stuff that was going on while it was happening, the unity. Who he was bringing to the stage, the love that was shown, the vibe, everything. It was a special moment. So I was able to supersede me being tired of that goddamn song. I was able to supersede that and be like, yo, this is a great moment. My nose was bleeding because of the din-din-din-din. I was like, hey, man, this is a great moment. My nose was fully bleeding. But I love the moment. It was fantastic, man. So that's how I was able to get through hearing that song again and again and again and again, even though I'm already tired of it. So yeah, Kendrick Lamar, man, you special. You special, dog. Anyway, I got to get the hell up out of here, man. Shout out to the patron saints. I appreciate y'all for the love, the support, the questions, the topics, putting up with my antics, you know what I'm saying? Doing the balance test with me. Asking great questions, asking all the questions. I appreciate y'all, man. Shout out to the people listening. Don't forget to spread the word about Verbal Cardio, man. You know what I'm saying? Spread the word. Get the word out there, man. Share this podcast with your people, man. I feel like this is a good podcast. I feel like it's unique. You know what I'm saying? Everybody feel like their little podcast is unique, but I feel like this podcast got something special. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad y'all are part of it, man. Y'all are great. Y'all make my podcast better, and so I appreciate y'all. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio.